This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is the Urban Hang Suite on Joy 94.9. Hi, I'm your host, David, and this is my interview with MC Bliss from the Australian rap trio Bliss and Esso.
Congratulations on your new album.
Thanks.
For folks who are just going to be listening in for the first time, what can they expect from this new album, especially as compared to the last one?
Look, I think as a band, we thought we were going in a good direction with Flying Colors, where it was going, you know, creatively, both with the production and also the lyrics in terms of the topics and subject matter. And the idea with Running on Air was really just to evolve naturally from that and keep pushing the boundary a little bit. So really, it's just a growth from where Flying Colors kind of left off. Again, it's got a lot of variety and depth to the album. It definitely takes listeners on a bit of a journey. So we're excited about it, man. We're pumped to get it out.
Yeah, sure. And so, as you guys were working on the new album, did you feel any pressure after the success and the awards for Flying Colors?
I mean, there's definitely, you know, natural pressure that kind of comes with any kind of success, I guess, you know, to keep following things up strongly and keep pushing it. But we were pretty conscious of that when we went into the studio, and one of our kind of formula strategies, I guess, you know, when we go into making music is just to really try and zone all that out and toss it out the window and really get back to having fun making music, because that's really the essence of what we loved about getting into hip-hop and why we started doing it in the first place. When you're having fun and you lose yourself creatively as well, usually your best stuff comes out. So that was a real kind of conscious decision myself and Esso made before going into it, because obviously there were a few pressures, coming off of Flying Colors, but I definitely think we achieved having a lot of fun making the record, and I think it shows in the music.
Do you think because you guys went and toured for a bit in the United States, and there's some big names from the U.S. rap scene on the new album, how do you think that influenced the work that you guys did for the new album?
Oh, look, I mean, hip-hop, I guess, coming from the States in the first place, it's always been, American hip-hop, I guess, has always been an influence in our lives and in our music. But all the collabs actually happened in Australia. We did tour the States last year with Swollen Members and went all around, but all the actual collabs happened within Australia. So it was, I guess for us, you know, we've been fans of Xzibit since the first album, so to get him on was an honor, and obviously, like, big Wu-Tang Clan fans, so to get, you know, RZA on, not just any of the members, but to get the head members is pretty crazy. And I think they all brought their own kind of flavors to the table, which definitely, you know, influenced us a little bit in terms of our direction on the particular track. But again, it all comes back to that variety. We like to have lots of different feels and flavors on there. So painting, you know, a nice wide sonic spectrum for the listener is really crucial for us in album making. And they really brought unique colors to the table. So it was dope to see.
Are there... You know, obviously you've released the first single. Are there certain tracks for you that stand out and that you're excited to play as you get ready to start the tour, the new tour?
Absolutely, man. You know, it's, everything works in cycles, I guess, when you're a band. And it's you know, we toured Flying Colors for about 2 years after doing the album. And, you know, towards the end of the touring, it was like, okay, we're seriously ready to get back into the studio and make some fresh stuff, like we were yearning to be creative again and make some new music. And then when you record an album like we just have on Flying Colors, over 6 months recording the album, you get, you know, as the final days kind of draw near and things are all coming together, you get really excited about playing the tracks live. So that's exactly where we're at. Can't wait to get back on the road with the Down by the River tour next month and try out some of these tracks. You know, Flying Through the City is definitely... you know, a really upbeat track that we can't wait to, you know, get out there on stage and rip. Down by the River, obviously, the new single. There's a couple other tracks as well that we can't wait to do live. Family Affair, which has got a real kind of guitar country feel, but it's really upbeat. And also Where the Wild Things Are, which I think for listeners will be something a little bit different that they might not expect. It's got a bit more of a rock feel, but I think it'll translate really well live.
For the folks who are going to be going to the shows, are you guys going to be doing something different from the Flying Colors tour, or what should people expect?
Look, I think any fans of ours know that our live show is very energetic, and we like to get the crowd involved and make sure they're all having a good time and really get that participation happening. And it's still going to be very based around that, a lot of energy and just a dynamic kind of bit of a journey, like our albums. We like to take the audience on a journey with us, and just being able to get the new tracks into the mix is definitely going to give it, a breath of fresh air in terms of, it is going to be something new, but we've also going to have some of our classic tracks in there weave through it. So it'll be a nice dynamic mix.
And so just to step back for a sec, for some folks who are going to be listening to the interview and just becoming aware of Bliss and Esso, can you just sort of take us through how you guys started? Because you were born in the U.S., but you spent most of your time growing up here in Australia, and that's where you met up with Esso. Can you talk about how that sort of dynamic really came about and sort of you started creating the music that's led you to where you are today?
Yeah, basically, I came over during high school to Australia, and I met Esso at high school, and he was pretty much the only other guy in the whole school that even knew what hip-hop was, let alone liked it. So it was, we became immediately friends, and I was influenced, just from the States. I used to, beatbox to the radio back in the day, and I always had it was definitely my favorite genre and type of music, and I was a big fan of a lot of artists. So when I came over, I became mates with him, and it wasn't like we just decided straight away, man, we're going to be rappers. It was a slow growth into it. And it spawned, I guess, from our love of hip-hop and the artists that we, admired and appreciated. And, we used to kind of rap at the bus stop. And this isn't a day, if you can imagine, where Australian hip-hop was basically nothing. I mean, there was a handful of groups or artists out there, and they were very, underground. It was on the mainstream level, if you compare it to then till now, it's just exponential, the growth that's happened. There was a lot of ridicule from the schoolmates and stuff, oh, homie this, homie that, and it was kind of like we never really cared about it, just because we were having fun making music, and we used to get old boom boxes and record to tape over other people's instrumentals, and that's basically how it all started. We used to mimic other people's rhymes, and then we just started writing our own, and after a while, we had recorded so many tracks on tape, we had our first album that we just did totally on tape. And later on, Esso moved to high schools and met DJ Ism at another school. And I think it was one night in the studio when we had a pretty simple setup with some beat machines and stuff, and we were working on earlier recordings. Esso invited Ism over, and he brought his decks around and just laid some cuts on our stuff. And it was just like it was meant to be. It was like the missing link, and it suddenly sounded like, man, that's real hip hop. Once you get the vinyl in there and the DJ element. So that's how the group was born, really, and we just evolved and grew from there.
And as you guys were getting started out, what were some of the influences musically that you guys looked to as you started to develop your musical style?
Oh, look, we've got quite an eclectic taste, and it's not all just hip hop. From old soul legends to Jimi Hendrix, there's a lot of artists out there that have been influential on our music. But hip-hop wise, we've always been big fans of Outkast, Wu-Tang Clan, Jest, who's actually on the album. We were lucky enough to get him, an amazing lyricist. Bubba Sparks. There's so many different artists that have helped inspire us and contributed ideas to our creative side, it's really an eclectic mix.
And are there artists that when you listen to now and you hear them and you think, wow, that's really interesting and it's different and inspires you to do more with your music?
Absolutely. I mean, I guess a key example of that is even the whole art form of sampling. That's in a sense you're getting inspired off of other genres of music, and you're taking a little fragment of that and you're sequencing it or arranging it in a way that it becomes something else, and it transforms through the beats and the rhymes into something completely different, but it still was inspired by, another band's or another artist's original vision. So I guess that's a prime example of that. Something like Eye of the Storm on Flying Colors, where we sampled Angus and Julia Stone with their track Paper Airplane. People wouldn't, when you hear the Angus and Julia Stone track by itself, you wouldn't think anything to do with hip-hop. But because it's been through that transformation process, it really has become something totally different. And we've done that, you know, multiple times with, I guess, hip-hop is a sample-based genre, so it's all kind of stemmed from this process, even though now there is a lot of original music and instrumentation in hip-hop. You know, there's examples of that on the new album as well. You know, we flipped up a Casey Chambers and Shane Nicholson track, which is something that our label and our manager were freaking out about, because it was like, how are you going to mix country with hip-hop? We kind of just kept fighting him and going, trust us, it's going to be good, it's going to be good. And it's, you know, it turned out to be one of the standout tracks on the album. So it's you can kind of find a new place by drawing on all these different influences.
So when an artist creates an album, there's sort of the thought that maybe this could be the more, I guess, for lack of a better term, the more commercial of the albums, and fans might gravitate this because it's more accessible. But then, you know, once the album's released, then maybe there's a song that you liked because it's on the album and you put your heart into, you know, one of those other songs gets picked out by the fans and they seem to really gravitate towards that song, as opposed to ones you thought that they might have when you're getting ready to release the album. Has that
You mean can the fans surprise us and pick something that we would have thought might have been a bit more of an underground track on the album?
Exactly.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, totally. Look, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, all the tracks on our records, they're all like our babies, you know, so we love them all. And it's very hard, you know, when you go to picking singles, what you think's going to work or what you think people, I guess, are going to gravitate to or really relate to, and it'll hit the mark in that sense. But it does happen from time to time, man. Like, people really surprise us, and it's great to see, because, as I said, they're all our babies. And, you know, for example, on Running On Air, we've got a track called Children of the Night, which is a flip-up of an old Stylistics track, which was a soul band from the 70s. When you first hear it, I guess, it doesn't strike you as, like, you go, oh, this is a radio track, it's a big commercial hit or anything like that. But it's to us, it's a beautiful kind of cinematic journey through, you know, told through the storyteller's eyes with an amazing beat that M-Phase has worked on. And it's not something that you just pick, but already from the reaction that we've been getting, people have been, like, going crazy over the track, which is really nice to see, you know. It does definitely surprise you sometimes when you think that this, you know, track A is going to be the one that everyone loves, but someone finds track, you know, D in there and they love it, you know what I mean? So, yeah, it's one of those things that you never really know until you get it out there.
With Flying Colors, obviously, you know, we talked about before that you guys, that was your most successful album to date, and you won an ARIA Award for that. What was that experience like?
It was amazing to be able to get an ARIA Award for Flying Colors. To get any kind of recognition on industry level for something that you've been working on and putting your heart and soul into, you know, for so many years is pretty special. So, yeah, it was a great experience, and obviously helped to boost the album in general and our profile, and so we can keep kind of doing what we're doing and keep building on it all. So, yeah, we were blown away when we won it. It was wicked.
With the new album and with the new tour, because I noticed on some of the tour dates that some of the shows, maybe it doesn't make a difference, but some of the shows are plus or over 18 and some are all ages. Is there going to be a difference in terms of what the fans can expect in the different shows?
No, not at all. I mean, when we get onto the stage, we give everyone, you know, 100% of our show every time, and it's not like we try and tame it down for the younger kids or make it crazier for the older kids or whatever. Obviously, the crowd dynamic does change a little bit due to that factor, but it's always 100% from us on stage, you know. So, you know, I guess they both have their idiosyncrasies and their differences, but they're both special. We really enjoy doing, you know, both, you know, playing underage shows or overage. I guess the ultimate is when it's mixed up and it's you got a licensed all ages gig, so you can have the best of both worlds there.
Diafrix and Mind Over Matter are going to be opening up for you guys.
That's right. Yeah.
And how did are they friends? Are they friends with you guys, or how did that work out?
Yeah, basically, MC Willow, who's one of the MCs in Mind Over Matter, he is cousins with Esso. You know, they've been working on their craft now for several years, and they've already toured with us for a couple of tours in the past. They're a really good live act, and The best thing is, you know, we've featured them on the album, so we're definitely going to have to rip up Where the Wild Things Are on stage and get the boys out on stage with us, which is always nice, you know, to be able to have a few guests during the show. So we're looking forward to it.
So you're doing the tour of the major cities. Are you going to keep going after that, sort of with a Down by the River tour that goes on to other places besides the big cities?
The more regional locations?
Yeah.
Yeah, basically, the plan is right now we're doing the five major cities for Down by the River tour, and then we're off to the States for a month to do a tour with Cottonmouth Kings, and then we come back to Australia, and we're going to do a major follow-up tour, which will probably be the Running on Air tour, and we'll hit a lot of regional locations. I guess, you know, for us, we've worked really hard to kind of tour everywhere and really try and build up as much of a following in lots of different towns as we can. So to get back out to some of the smaller towns is really important to us because, you know, we've got a lot of fans there that have shown us a lot of love, and definitely enjoy just trying to hit as many spots as we can. So we'll definitely follow up on a much more thorough tour of the country.
You mentioned that you guys did the two-year tour, essentially, supporting Flying Colors. And obviously you're going to be starting a grueling new tour to support the new album. How do you guys manage the, you know, because obviously it's a lot of time that you spend in close quarters with each other over a long period of time. How do you manage that dynamic so you don't essentially become sick of each other but still manage to put out and do innovative music and put on great live shows?
Oh man, it's basically, you know, Bliss and Esso is my family, and you know, the guys in my group are my brothers. It's like it's we've been together for so long now. It literally is like a surrogate family. So, you know, any brothers, you know, at times we'll fight, and you know, but at the end of the day, you all love each other, and you just keep on trucking. And that's we've got quite a high level of endurance, and because, as you said, it can get very dominant in your life. You know, this music is everything, and it's we're constantly doing things, whether it's touring or making music or, you know, video clips or whatever it is. There's always something for us to do. So we see a lot of each other, and I guess we're lucky to have a good dynamic. Each of us bring a different piece of the puzzle to the table, and we've all got, you know, different personalities. But we all, you know how to work with each other, and you know, it's like brothers, man. It's your family at the end of the day. So. I guess we're lucky in that sense that we all do get along.
Thank you for taking the time.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks, man.
That was my interview with MC Bliss from Australian rap trio Bliss and Esso. This is the Urban Hang Suite on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.